The bioptimized humans achieve ideal levels of aesthetics, performance, and health. It's a state of existence where all the body and brain's functions operate in perfect harmony. A symphony of the factors flowing in optimal quantities and qualities. We have world-class biologists to create the best in-class formulas. Our mission and physical suffering by optimizing digestion, optimizing brains, and activating bioptimized health. We've been optimizing humans since 2004. Bioptimizers, use code ABBY10 for discount at checkout.
What's up, y'all?
You're listening to all the hits on the number one party show in the city, The Abby Night Show.
Tell a friend.
I'ma get it poppin', don't stop me. No, turning up every weekend is a party.
Turn up.
Oh, you know. Yeah. It's the Abby Night Show, and you know we wildin'. Wow. So turn up the radio, it's a vibe, yeah. Hot topics, keep it locked, yeah, you know this. Tune in for the talks, cause this your moment. It's an Abby Night Show, it's an Abby Night Show, it's an Abby Night Show.
And we're back with one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, Drew Oliver. So excited!
What up, what up, what up, what up? How
we so feeling? Happy How we to feeling? Be chatting today. You look good representing New York City.
Thank you, thank you. You know, we in here.
You know, Yankees New about York, to stand up.
Right now, the Yankees game just started.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, it just started.
Who do you think is going to win?
I mean,
it's obvious. Man. Yankees, of course.
Well, you know what we're doing.
So let's talk about it, Drew. I'm good. I'm great. I'm better now because it's always good catching up with you anyway. But I'm more excited for people to get to know you a little bit because you have so much you've done. Y'all, Drew is probably one of the most humble people like I've ever met. Like you would never know. Let's talk about it. Like, I hadn't seen you in a minute. Not once did you happen to mention, like, hi, I have over 11 billion streams now.
That is good, man. You know, we work hard. I mean, I'm blessed to have, you know, been a part of some popular music that, you know, we work hard to get next to and work hard to be a part of and work hard in the studio to make sure that when people get it, like, you want to play it a billion times. So, absolutely, I'm glad that the integrity and intensity in the studio is paying off on them damn streams because we gotta pay rent.
Yeah, they really are. So let's talk about it. For the people that don't know, Drew Oliver, I feel like is an all around talent. So he has over 100 song credits, over 11 billion streams. People, that's more than 99% of the industry. For those of you in the back that may not know, he's in the top 1% of songwriters, top 2% of producers, top 1% of engineers, and top 2% of mixing engineers. You know, just a little something on a regular Tuesday. I love this for you so much. Have you been up to anything new lately?
Yeah, I mean, these days it's just kind of like, I don't know. I'm just like a leaf blowing in the wind. You know, I'm writing one day. I'm making beats in the same day, at the same session sometimes. Sometimes we don't have an engineer and I'm engineering. So I'm making the beat, I'm engineering, and I'm writing. I'm doing background vocals. It's just organized chaos, honestly, for real. But I love it, though. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't want it any other way. I kind of like waking up and having a new musical adventure every day. I don't know what I'm going to write or who I'm going to write it for, or if it's going to be for me or if it's going to be for another artist. I'm kind of just existing and really just going, you know? And I'm enjoying just kind of being a human on earth that makes music in a crazy time, kind of just expressing themselves, you know?
Right.
So I feel blessed to have this as not just a career, but a passion and kind of like a compass, really, even. Mm-hmm. I feel blessed to be an artist. I feel blessed to be a creative. I think it's like I hit the lottery, you know, in terms of existing, because it's a lot of things going on all the time in the world. For me, this is like my escape, my diary, my everything, you know. It is who I am. So I'd be happy to be here, yo. I'd be happy to wake up and do this shit.
It's like living the literal dream in real life.
No, for sure.
I love that.
And it feels like a dream too. Like nothing feels real. Like I don't take myself too serious. You know, obviously
for sure,
I take my,
you don't.
My business serious, and I take, you know, whatever needs to be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. But overall, bro, I just be trying to live my life and make my little music and chill, you know.
You know, do a little something, something. So you've worked behind the scenes on some big records. So for a lot of you out there that may not be familiar with Drew, I mean, he's worked with Kehlani, Nights Like This. Can we name off like maybe four records that people may know? Because you have such a long list.
Browning kind of by A Boogie and Kodak, which is Diamond. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Kehlani, Nights Like This, Playing With Me with Kyle, Crazy, The Way. Five-year-old foreign, What's My Name is a record that I wrote. Little TJ FN is a record that I mixed. It's a ton of people, man, and a lot of records, but it'd be hard to rattle off. But those are just a few, you know what I mean, notable ones.
He's also worked with Friday recently, people, so you know. But
Friday done for me, you know. Shout out to Fry. He's just on tour. I think he might still be on tour, but
he's amazing. He's an incredible artist. Yeah,
he sold out the theater at Madison Square Garden. Me and all the homies that work on his team went, and you know, had a good time and went out to eat after. It was a good time, man. You know, just it feels good to be in the midst, you know, and just to be contributing. Mm-hmm. It feels good to be. And feel good to be contributing to music, especially up here in the tri-state, you know.
Yeah,
where like, you know, this is where I came up, my family's from here, so
that's a big deal. That's a moment.
Yeah, it was important to kind of leave my mark here. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, we take the music worldwide and we travel, but you know, yeah. I had to make sure that the tri-state was taken care of. I feel like a tri-state Avenger at this point, you know.
What you been doing that?
Yeah, so I've been trying to hold the city down, man, you know.
What's been one moment in your career, maybe that one might have been it, where you thought, okay, this is really happening? Almost like an out-of-body experience.
Probably going to go link Kehlani at the Grammys for the first time. I probably was
pretty special. No.
Yeah, it was definitely surreal, especially being like at the Warner Music Party for first time in LA, and just being out there in LA and just like, the hell is going on? Like, that was definitely one of the moments. But funny enough, one of my early music moments, I tell this story a lot. Shout out to my dog, Glenn Swan. When I was coming out of Full Sail, or actually when I was still in Full Sail, and I was close to graduating, I came and visited to New York to come basically on a hope and a dream, hoping that Glenn, who had came and spoke at my school and gave me his number after a seminar, was going to answer the phone. And I like literally kind of came on a whim to New York to see like if he would actually answer. And I got here and he fucking answered, and I came to the studio and he showed me around, and he showed me Swiss Beats room, and then he was like, oh yeah, look through this window. And I looked through the window, and it was like Kanye in there on the keyboard, just like making a beat. And like, you know, my mind was blown. I was like, the fuck, like Kanye's right there, like cooking up. And after that, like, I just kind of knew like I really wanted to kind of do this forever. That was one of those moments, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah.
That sounds like a really special identifiable moment. Kind of like frozen in time, right? To go in to see somebody that's also an artist producing, engineering, doing the works, which is basically what you're doing right now. So, I mean, I feel like you're a jack of all trades like anyway, Kanye though.
Definitely, you know, in the category of creative that I think that I'm in, mm-hmm. in terms of kind of wearing different hats and
for sure.
being able to kind of look at the scope of music from different lenses and from different seats, mm-hmm. and using different ears even. Because sometimes I feel like some of the creatives are compartmentalized into the things that they're good at, which is great. We need experts in areas. And I think that there's a lot of people who are really, really a lot better than me in certain particular areas, but I'm really good at the things that I'm good at, you know? I think that people like Pharrell and JD and Timbo and Will.i.am and Neo and the Dream and the list goes on of these multi-hyphenated creatives who know how to, you know, write songs, make records, you know, sit down and engineer themselves if they need to, so on and so forth, you know, really just mm-hmm. be the conductor and also the instrument. And I think that's, you know, one of my unique qualities is kind of, you know, being able to kind of play multiple positions. So yeah.
MVP, just saying. So when you're in the studio, what's your creative process like? Are you the type that freestyles melodies first, or do you lock in on lyrics?
Energy, man. Like, so I'm, first of all, like, I got to make sure my energy is right before I get there. So I got to make sure I ate good that day. I'm learning that coffee and caffeine is good for people with ADHD.
Learn so, something new every day. I know that.
Coffee before sessions, and it kind of helps me lock in a little mm-hmm. bit. Definitely got to make sure I got some good gas, you know what I mean? And then I find like a zen, productive mind, energetic type of space. And it depends, you know, what the mission is. Like, I might start with making something myself. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm with another producer, they might play through some loops or something that they have. Or maybe we do have some finished beats if we know exactly what we're trying to get at that day or whatever. And I'll go and do melodies over that. And it'll go from making melodies to structuring those melodies and then writing to the structured melody that's there and coming mm-hmm. up with concept. Honestly, I like to work backwards these days. So mm-hmm. I like to attack the hook first, and then I'll do like a pre-hook, and then I'll go maybe and do like the post or something, and then I'll maybe go back to the verse. So I'm like jumping around. But obviously, that's only if I'm like actually inspired and I want to finish the song and I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much my process, you know, and I'm listening for like the best, most stickiest, most memorable, you know, can't get out your head melodies, you know, to make the song. So mm-hmm. it's important that you know, we're making things that you know, feel like you know, earworm, like just can't get out of your head, you know. Mm-hmm. So
those records are definitely that. You've written for different artists over the years. How do you tailor your sound to fit their voice while still keeping your signature style? Because I feel like I can hear certain records and I know when it's you.
Yo, you know what's funny? I think I'm hilarious, and I've been a class clown my whole life, and you know, I just like to have fun, bro. Like, if you was in class with me, like, you were going to have fun. You were going to laugh. Nothing was ever going to be serious. Good luck if you want to get work done. And yeah, I used to get in trouble. But my point of all this is saying that I play around a lot. And when you fuck around and play around a lot, you end up doing impressions, you talking different accents all the time. I'm a nomad, so I've always moved around to different cities and states and countries. I'm kind of cultured in a different kind of way than a lot of people traditionally are. So I have all these voices, I have all these characters and things, kind of like, just because I'm silly, bro. I'm just like, I'm a goofy goober, you know.
You're so much fun to be around.
I'll just be, yo, life is a game. We just here having fun playing, man. Like, you know, I don't know what to tell you. If you out here taking life too seriously, I mean, listen, I get it. Everybody don't, it's a privilege to kind of, you know, live a life of you know, happiness, joy, passion, and, you know, you know, just having fun. Listen, there are ups and downs. I just choose to focus on that part of it, you know, right, and make it a priority and make it something that I work on. And like that, I feel like that's the point for me. Like, I don't know, the point for it is for everybody else. Everybody got different strokes with different folks. You feel me?
Yeah.
Me, listen, man, I'm just trying to enjoy the ride, you know. But I say all that to say, I love all music, and I've always listened to all music. And I do have my fortes, but at the end of the day, you know, my first Grammy nomination as a writer was a Latin song with Prince Royce.
Oh, which one was that?
It's called Pull Up by featuring Danny Lay.
Oh, that's a dope record. So, I didn't know you did that.
Mm-hmm. And so then,
period.
My forte is hip hop and R&B. You know, I sing and I rap. You know, I'm a lunch table legend, you know what I mean? Banging on lunch tables, rapping and battling and stuff like that. So I really came up spitting and rapping, but also singing in the choir. So I have that duality. So I'm able to write raps in a certain way that's really authentic to certain styles from different areas. So I can do, you know, down south rap or West Coast, or, you know, even Northeastern rap. I can also imitate UK rap, just because I'm just also always downloading the patterns. It's kind of like, you know, as a musician, you know, you're constantly learning rhythms and cadences and melodies and ways to go about things. And I think I just kind of have a knack of kind of picking up someone's je ne sais quoi, or like their style, and I can kind of rework it in my own way. So I have my own sound and my own kind of way of delivering things, but I know how to kind of hear someone else's style and then kind of mix it with mine. But it comes from a love of appreciating other styles and listening to all different types of music, and not really kind of having a regional sound for, you know, as a nomad, you know what I mean? Never really was one place, so I kind of, against my will, had to listen to a bunch of different stuff, you know. So that has now become a superpower, now that you know, I'm a musician and I write songs and I produce records. It helps me be able to float between genres. I mean, just this year, 2025, I wrote and produced records with Valiant, a Sony UK artist. He's like one of the biggest artists coming out of Jamaica. And we were on the Billboard's list for top albums of 2025 so far, like their favorite albums of 2025 so far. And I think I had like three or four records on there.
Amazing.
Two of them were the single.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, this is a testament of, you know, kind of my ability to float between genres and actually, you know, it actually be authentic and actually be good, you know, because you can want to float between genres, but, you know, still has to be good, you know, and it still has to, the people who grew up listening to that genre or that's their favorite music have to appreciate it, you know. So the proof is in the pudding. I think I have a very colorful creditless, you know, Spanish song.
Because it's all over the place. Like, you're definitely not stuck in one lane.
Music and pop music and all different types of R&B and drill and different types of rap and, you know, now Caribbean music. And I have one of the biggest UK swing, is what they call it, songs on social media with J1 Prettier. Mm-hmm. He's a UK rapper, but it's kind of like as a Caribbean kind of Afrobeat kind of vibe to it. I think they call it, it's kind of like an Afro swing or whatever. But the,
cool.
UK rap on it. So it's like, and a lot of the times I'm doing both parts. So like, you know, there's a rap part, but there's also like a singy part. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, you know, I'm bouncing between both of those as well, you know? So yeah. I don't know. I'm just a chameleon, I guess. But
I mean, really knowing
for it too, you know, and it's just the studying, and you know.
I mean, and knowing how eclectic I feel like your music palette is, and also the variety of records that you've worked on. Was there any one song in particular that you knew was really special the moment it came together?
I'm not gonna lie. I don't know if I've told this story before publicly, but I tell it all the time to people I meet and friends. But the first time I met Kehlani, I didn't really know who she was fully. Like, I knew who she, I'd heard of her, but I didn't really know her. Mm-hmm. And she came in the studio and she was kind of quiet that day, a little antisocial. Fair enough. It was our first time meeting each other. Jahan Sweet was there, her producer. And she kind of was just sitting in the computer chair, rocking back and forth while the beat was playing. I had loaded the beat up. I was engineering. And she loaded the beat up and kind of had it. I had it on loop. And she just was looked like she was writing in her phone, you know? Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I honestly thought she was just wasting time and bullshitting, you know? I don't know. Like, so she goes, I'm ready. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, ready to do what? Right. But that's not what I said out loud. I was like, okay. And she goes in the booth and sings the whole first verse of The Way. And her tone, the lyrics, the placement of the cadence, everything just was so on point. Mm-hmm. My natural reaction was to like pull my phone out and like start recording like a fan, like I was like amazed or something, you know what I mean? Like, or like, you know what I mean? Like when you ever just something really crazy and you're just like, whoa, what the hell? You just grab your phone. That was just a natural reaction, even though like that's not something I would typically do in a session.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't just record
people
during a recording session. Just
Not
even, you know what I mean? Like in hindsight, I always was like, why did I do that? But no, it was just really because I was like in bewilderment. Like I was like
kind of in awe in that moment.
What I was just, Theo, come on, bro. I'm doing an interview, Theo. Theo bed. My bad. Theo in here trying to be all up in the video.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was just really
trying to get some spotlight.
Kind of taken back that like she had just wrote that verse in silence. Mm-hmm. She wasn't humming out loud. She wasn't like, I'm used to people kind of being a little bit more frantic and full of anxiety and working really hard to kind of come up with something dope and special and impressive. You know what I mean? And this girl sat there in that chair and with her feet up in the chair and wrote the first verse of The Way. And I think some of the hook in silence.
Amazing.
And I was just shocked by that shit. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It was amazing to see it in real time. And lo and behold, that became one of her first really popular songs that put a lot of people onto her.
That's one of my favorite records by her.
Yeah, a lot of people learned.
Vocal production was amazing on it too.
Thank you. A lot of people learned who she was through that record. And it was like the lead single from her Grammy nominated, they called it a mixtape, but it was really kind of, you know, it was an original project. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was easily definitely like top.
One of those moments.
Extremely memorable moments where it was just like, whoa, what's going on here?
So for you, when you're in the studio, because every producer has their go-to tools that they tend to go to, what's one sound or plugin that you just cannot live without? And why?
There's a mix of plugins. I don't know if there's one particular, because you know what it is? I'm a nerd and I'm an engineer and writer and producer. So it's like, I'm hip to everything. You know what I mean? I know, like, I almost kind of need all my tools. It's kind of like, I guess if you were a chef, there's one knife you could pick. If you're a carpenter, I guess there's one tool you could pick. I guess when you're a writer, producer, you know, engineer, I guess right now, man, live without is so, because I can, like, even without tuning, without reverb sometimes, without compression, like, I can get the job done.
Right.
It's like, to say that one I can't live without is a tough question to answer, because that pigeonholes me into picking one desert island thing that I'm gonna need. And really, if I was on a desert island, I might be good with no plugins. I might still be able to knock a joint out. But if I gotta pick one, you know what, man? Shout out my man Jess Jackson and Auto-Tune. You know why I'm gonna say Auto-Tune, and it's not because I need it. It's because it really does help a ADHD motherfucker, ADDDD LMNOP motherfucker like me focus on the mission, which is sing the damn song or rap this or whatever the case may be. Because sometimes when you are singing without tune, or, you know, you're writing a song, you, as an LMNOP DDD motherfucker like me, you start thinking about all the things you need to be fixing in your brain while you're just trying to do trivial shit.
Yeah.
And so Auto-Tune just helps me kind of like relax my brain and not think so hard and just sing the damn song. And everybody uses it. True. Including this all is everyone's faves. Everyone's fave.
Everyone's favorite go-to tool in the studio.
Shout Auto-Tune, shout Jess Jackson. I just got to give an honorable mention to some of my other plug-in company friends, like Ryan Schwab and Schwab Digital. Got to give a shout to Mixwave and Colin. Just to name a couple, man. I'm not going to shout all the gang members out, but those are just a couple of really dope companies who are doing something really dope. Obviously, you know, you guys know about Waves and UA, some other companies that I work with. But yo, I'm a nerd, man. So we can get into all the nerdy plug-in stuff.
Right. I'm like, for everybody listening in, he just dropped some gems for y'all. So I hope you guys wrote that down, because those are some must-haves for doing what Drew does. And I think a lot of people don't really understand what the whole process is like creatively. Obviously, everyone creates differently. Like you said, Kehlani, I mean, I've never heard of an artist sitting in silence like that and being able to write a verse on that level. Normally, you hear a little humming, a little something going on. What's one thing fans might be surprised to learn about what goes on behind the scenes of songwriting or creating a new record?
Songwriting has formulas, and there are some kind of parameters and almost kind of instinctual methods to write good songs. I don't think that everybody hears it. And if you're not privy to the patterns or the mechanics of it all, you'll miss it. But there's actually a way to write great records, and you kind of learn the tricks to the trade, as they would say, from experience. And over time, you start to be like, ah, okay, I get it now. And then it starts to honestly start to become a little easier. Same thing with production too.
Yeah.
You know, once you've been programming, you know, beats or drums for a certain while, or even, you know, for musicians, certain musicians that, like, you see some pianists like play with their eyes closed, guitarists like looking around the room, like, la 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 la, like just going crazy. And you're like, the hell? yeah. So
it's the same thing. It's a different experience for sure. I will say that.
Yeah. But yeah, it starts to get easier the more you do it. And easier is, like, I'm using it
subjective. Yeah.
Subjectively. Yeah. Yeah. It's not easy. Sorry. Making music is hard. But I'm saying the process of it, you start to learn your process, and you get through it, and you know how to finish things, you know how to get right to it. You start to understand.
Yeah, and knowing what works for you. With you being an artist, do you ever write songs that you keep in the vault for yourself, or are you always thinking of who could bring it to life? Because I know,
unfortunately, way too many. Okay. I'm trying to psych myself out of that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like,
do you get attached to some of your records?
Yeah, I want them all to drop. I want everything to drop. Like, I just want to close my eyes and then just hit upload and then run out and lock my door and throw the keys down the hall and run and just, like,
let it just do what it does. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a gift and a curse kind of working with major artists and kind of working at the A level, because it psychs yourself out sometimes as creative when you're trying to come up as well from your place of artistry. Because I, you know, still love to sing and rap songs. So, yeah, you psych yourself out when you're next to people who are, like, you know, at the place you're trying to also work to, but you're also helping them.
Right.
So it's an insane kind of world to, you know, psychologically.
Yeah, that's definitely a really interesting place to be in. I mean, that being said, if you could create a dream session with any artist, any era, who would be in the room with you? Who?
The boy, Riri, and my son Ye gonna make the beat, but he gonna collab with Pharrell though.
Okay. Who's the boy?
Mr. Six God.
Oh.
Yeah, Mr. Graham. Riri gonna sing the hook. It's gonna be a back and forth with her and the boy. Like I said, Ye and Pharrell gonna do the beat. It's gonna be fire. Michael Jackson gonna do ad libs.
Yeah, that's it. Just show up. Intro
and outro. Not because when you press play on the song, Mike gonna do the intro. You're like, oh shit, and then Drake gonna come in on the verse. You know what I mean? Retakes the hook. You know what I'm saying?
Crazy.
Madness.
Crazy. Madness. Somebody needs to find some of those MJ stems.
Ye might can do the second verse. Ye just going, he's going to go crazy. He's going to try to change the beat.
But you want, like, current Ye, or you want, like, honestly, like Jesus Walks Ye?
I like all the era Ye's. People act like, oh, Ye back. New Ye cool too. Mm-hmm. I'll take all the A's. We cool with Ye, man. Shout out Ye.
Shout out to Ye. The music industry can be a grind, as we all know. A lot of people don't see all the work that goes in behind the scenes for you. What keeps you grounded and motivated when things get tough? We've talked about this privately before. But for people out there that may be trying to get into the game, and things aren't always smooth sailing. You're going to have your highs and your lows in this industry. And it's a lot of work to get, like, to where you are. You've been putting in work for years So, you know, what keeps you grounded and motivated during those times?
Trying to constantly make sure I'm checking myself and checking my ego. I mean, shout out to my family and my parents. And I mean, I hit the lotto on my mom and my dad and my close family. Like, I really just, you know, I come from a loving background, you know what I mean? So I'm not saying I'm constantly bringing that energy to the music industry, because sometimes I got to be tough, not going to hold you. Sometimes I got to be assertive a lot of the time. Well, most of the time I have to be assertive. But, you know, I just feel like as long as I keep my own moral compass and I'm constantly trying to stay a student and make sure I'm on top of my business and continuing to learn and just staying true to myself, I think that that's what helps me kind of navigate the business and kind of stay grounded, because I have to be very discerning a lot of the times on who I'm working with, where I'm spending my energy, my time, who I'm letting in my circle, who I'm connecting dots with. Like, it's just, you know, I mean, it's the Wild Wild West, but it's also corporate, but it's also the streets, but it's also the art world, you know.
It's everything.
I mean?
So, honestly, it's a little bit of everything.
It's a little bit of everything. So the more versed you are with all of those things, the better you are going to be able to navigate the space and figure it all out and find your place and carve your own space out. But if you're lacking in those areas or one of those areas, all of them, it might be a little tough for you, and it might gonna, you know, it's going to be a learning curve. I mean, you know, it took me time to kind of figure it all out too. So, and I'm still learning. I'm still in the initial evolves in real time. So you have to, you know, relearn things all the time too, and figure things out, you know, that are happening in real time. So you're never done learning.
And be able to adapt. Super big key.
You gotta be able to adapt. You gotta be able to move with the ebbs and flows and the waves of how things going. It's tough for anybody in this thing to stay consistent and stay relevant, or work with the latest hot artists, or work with seasoned legacy artists. It's all, you know. But I don't know, man. God got me. I've been figuring it out
day by day. So for people that may not be as familiar with your personal music, how would you describe yourself as an artist in three words?
I like to keep it fun, turned up, and sexy for the R&B lovers. I'm in some like hybrid walking
you
the
are
line.
You are.
R&B. Like, I like the rap, but I also like to sing. So it's like, but it's
I feel
not
like you
really
like to merge genres a little bit. You do like to play a little bit creatively with that.
I'm a blending type motherfucker. So I'm like, yeah, like it sucks because it's not really one I like more than the other. Like, I feel like I'm a R&B singer with bars.
I like that. That's a really good way to put that.
I try to bring cleverness and kind of like a bar-y approach to writing to my R&B songs. And I like to be somewhere in like a mid to up tempo space, to where no matter what, you can it still kind of makes you bounce and move. You know what I mean? Like, I like my shit slapping and in the pocket. I like tight kind of punchy snares and kicks that kind of reminds you of hip hop, but on the musical side of like acoustic instruments like pianos and guitars. So I'm somewhere in that hybrid soul R&B meets, you know, modern progressive drums and you know, rap. So
somewhere there.
Your question, but you know,
we got there. there. We got there.
To kind of explain the vibe.
Yeah, which for people that are confused or maybe wondering what he's talking about, you just have to go listen to his records. Drew Oliver, I promise you'll thank us later, because everything is a vibe. It's good. Y'all have to go check it out. It's kind of hard to explain, though. When you hear it, you'll know.
You're not going to want to sit still. You're not going to want to sit still. I like, on you know, the hips gyrating on the females. Like, I like that, you know, when my music makes you have to move. Like, you throwing it back where, you know, asses are shaking, cheeks are clapping, you know.
Everybody's making music at that point.
We lit. We up.
For the up and coming artists and producers and writers out there, what's one piece of real advice you wish someone had given you early on when you were coming into the game?
Treat the music business like you're building a company, and not like you're just making music and having fun. Have fun. But also literally think of yourself as a company, and you're the CEO and the product. And what you're trying to accomplish is building a structure of business around you and different pseudo employees who are going to work for you and essentially make up your business and your company, rather than, you know, working directly for you or not, or they're just people that you collaborate with, or third party use. But look at it as you are building a company and you need all of these pieces to essentially gel and work together like a well-oiled machine, and learn the business and make sure that you are doing whatever the business needs for that moment in time, because every time period has been different, and the needs and wants of the fans and the industry have always evolved and changed. So, yeah, treat it like a startup, like you have a startup business and you're trying to build a company.
I've told a lot of artists this.
Music. I'm an artist. I'm gonna just make songs and go to the studio. Like, no, you're building a company.
Yeah, essentially, that's exactly what it is. And I always tell new artists trying to get in the game that they always say they want to get into the music business, but I'm like, you need to learn the business of music before you really dive in deep. Because then you know you'll know how to make the right decisions as you navigate your new journey and your path in it. So before we head out, I wanted to have a quick, fun this or that, which I feel like you're going to be like, really, I don't know, you might be processing a little bit, but just a couple questions that are fun just to see what you would choose. You ready?
Okay, let's do it.
Make a hit in 15 minutes under pressure, or take 3 days to perfect a masterpiece?
15 minutes.
Be stuck in a studio with no Wi-Fi but endless inspiration, or with full Wi-Fi and zero creative spark?
No Wi-Fi. A lot of the times, the internet's not really being used. The only reason I even connect to the Wi-Fi is because there's some plugins or like programs
that require it.
Require me to like use Wi-Fi to open it. But a lot of the times, it comes up. Like, you know, look up something real quick.
And you're off of it. Yeah. Trade places for a day with Quincy Jones in the 80s or Pharrell in the 2000s?
Ooh.
Yeah. We love Pharrell around here. He's an absolute sweetheart in real life.
I actually might go Quincy. Because
you go back to the MJ days?
Not only just that, right? Mm-hmm. Quincy was composing. So Quincy was organizing string sections, horn sections, you know what I mean? Wind instruments, like just really composing shit, you know, big band with Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
He saw some shit, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He started like 70s and made it all the way through the 2000s. But you said the 80s. So, you know, he was hot. He was in his bag in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely was there with Mike. And You goddamn right I want to go back and be in the studio with Mike. What?
In the 80s? What?
Pharrell might say Quincy.
Yeah. Win a Grammy for a track that no one knows you made, or go viral with a song that's not your best work. Dun, dun, dun.
That's, yo, you got some good questions. Oh my God. Cause like,
that'd be tough to win a Grammy and nobody knows it's you. Like, what?
Yeah, kind of both have happened, which is weird. Let's go viral.
Let's go viral. Okay.
Because, you know, we win the Grammy. We want it to hit. We want that thing to hit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But let's go viral. Because at least you can be like, yo, remember that one song? You're like, yeah.
That sounds me though. I can totally see that moment too. Last one. Only be able to use one chord progression forever, or only be able to collaborate with one artist for life.
Yeah, definitely not using the same chord progression. I'm going to lose my damn mind. Hell no. That sounds like living hell. So I guess we're going to go with the artist, because maybe that artist,
we're going to be locked in with that artist for life.
Maybe that artist is me or somebody I like.
Yeah. So it works out.
Okay, we're running it up forever, my boy or my girl, whoever it is. We're running it up. Let's get it.
That's hilarious. So what do you have coming up? Anything new? Are you putting any new records out? I know you just put some new music out recently. You have two new singles, right?
Yeah, I have two new singles out. We got Sexy and we got Party Ain't Over. But we got FWM coming up with my girl Rai Rai, who's like a legend from Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I got my song Slide with Jaleel that I have coming up. And both are like two fun songs, kind of just, you know, more of me just having, you know, party music mixed with a little bit of little R&B. Look out for that. I just finished mixing FWM, so that should be out soon. And then the Jaleel song's already mixed. So just, you know, got to do some content and then get them out.
That's exciting. So for everybody that may want to tap in or keep up with what you have going on, where can they go and find you?
Everywhere is Drew Oliver, DRUOLIVER. And yeah, come fuck with your boy.
Come tap in with the kid. It's been so fun catching up. I always tell you, like, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, literally. For people that get to be around Drew, they know he's pretty special. Yeah. Love you so much. I'm so excited for the new records. Make sure you get it over to us so we can show it some love as well. And we'll make sure that we keep, you know, keep everybody tapped into what you have going on.
Thank you, Abby. I appreciate you always. Love to see you always doing your thing. You know, we always have the best conversations. So let's do this again.
We have deep conversations. Like, I think people would be shocked to see what the conversations are.
Okay, y'all went that deep that quick? Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what it is.
Happy nights, let's go!